Quote, one who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. End quote. If one somehow or other comes to the shelter of a great Vaishnava, takes to Krishna consciousness because of sentiment or realization, but in course of time falls down because of immature understanding, he is not actually fallen, for his having engaged in Krishna consciousness is a permanent asset. If one falls down, therefore, his progress might be checked for a certain time, but it will again become manifest at an opportune moment. Although Priyavrata Maharaj was serving according to the instructions of Narada Muni, meant for going back on the back to Godhead, he returned to material affairs at the request of his father. In due course of time, however, his consciousness for serving Krishna was awakened by the grace of his spiritual master, Narada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 41, Shuchinam Shunatam Gehe Yudhagrasho Avijayate. One who falls down in the process of Bhakti Yoga is again offered the opulence of the gods. Now, by enjoying such material opulence, he is given a chance to take birth in a noble family of pure Brahmana, or in a rich family, to be given the chance to revive his Krishna consciousness. This actually happened in the life of Priyavrata. He is a most glorious example of this truth. In due course of time, he no longer wanted to enjoy his material opulences and his wife, kingdom, and sons. Instead, he wanted to renounce them all. Therefore, after having described the material opulences of Maharaj Priyavrata, Sukadeva Goswami, in this verse, describes his tendency for renunciation. The words Devarshi Charana Dushayana indicate that Maharaj Priyavrata, having fully surrendered to the great sage Devarshi Narada, was strictly following all devotional processes and regulative principles under his direction. In regard to strictly following the regular principles, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Dandavat Pranamastan Unipatita. By immediately offering obeisances, Dandavat, unto the spiritual master, and by strictly following his directions, the student becomes advanced. Maharaj Priyavrata was doing all these things regularly. As long as one is in the material world, he has to be under the influence of the multi-material nature, Manasarka. It is not that Maharaj Priyavrata was free from material influence because he possessed all material opulences. In this material world, both the very poor man and the very rich man are under material influences, but both wealth and poverty are creations of the multi-material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 27, Prakriti Kriyamana Nibunai Karmani Sarvasha. According to the multi-material nature, we acquire, the material nature gives us facility for material enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So it seems like there's two, let's say, broad messages from this purport. The first is that Maharaj Priyavrata became advanced by following his spiritual master. Acharyarya Matsa say, Ye Matusar. It is said that the opinion of the spiritual master, Matsumi's opinion, the opinion of the spiritual master is the active principle of spiritual life. And if one shall abandon the opinion of his modified spiritual master, acting independently, then he immediately becomes useless. Everything he does becomes useless. Just like elephant bath. When elephant takes a bath, there are no limits to elephant taking a bath. Because as soon as he gets out of the water, he immediately puts dust on himself. So this example is given, which is not Bhagavatam. So similarly, one who does not accept the opinions of his modified spiritual master, then his Vedic studies, his various activities of worship become immediately useless, just like the baby of an elephant. This is mentioned in 7 chapters. So one becomes advanced by following one's spiritual master. This is one broad message of the purport. And the other broad message of the purport is that even if one shall be surrendered to the spiritual master, it is not necessarily the case that his devotional service will be without an apparent scar. Because Priyavrata says surrender to the spiritual master, that is planned to be made very clear in this verse. But later on, apparently, he became completely entangled in material affairs. So therefore, the idea here is that even after I surrender to the spiritual master, one should not be under the illusion that there can be problems later on in the spiritual life. But even if there shall be an apparent problem or a setback, one is not to be considered. This is especially for those who will be observing such a devotee. One should not consider such a devotee to be fallen or useless. So this is the hard part in the spiritual life. Because generally, due to being externally orientated, it is easy to perceive the negative realities of, let's say, the holy situation, and not perceive its internal intention, which is for purity, which is consciousness. But the road of purity is not an easy one. It's a smaller road that's less taken, and it's filled with many currents. So therefore, one should not be under the illusion that I'm surrendering to spiritual master, therefore my record is going to be flawless. You know, it may be by the grace of the Lord, or it may not be also by the grace of the Lord. So these are the two broad messages. The first message, by surrendering to spiritual master, one becomes advanced. Srila Prabhupada is quoted, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, saying that, Dandavat Namastam Nupurita. By immediately offering obeisances, Dandavat, unto the spiritual master, and by strictly following his directions, the student becomes advanced. Maharaj Priyavrata was doing all these things regularly. So by offering obeisances to the spiritual master and strictly following his instructions, we had a nice Christmas retreat, and Srila. Dravida Prabhu gave the program from one of the first. He told the meaning of obeisances. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nandana Bhavana Bhaktoma Nyajina Manasguru. To be a devotee just means these four things. You only think of Krishna, you worship Krishna and become Krishna's devotee, and you offer obeisances to Krishna. One may think, what is there in that? Especially, I remember reading the obeisances part. I was like, why is this point highlighted? To always think of Krishna makes sense, but the offer of obeisances, you know, especially the way we tend to offer obeisances without much fervor devotion. I was thinking, what is there in offering obeisances? So Jyotir Guru kindly pointed out to us the meaning of namaha. The word ma, it was translated as mine, and na is negation. So the word namaha means nothing is mine. So the idea of offering obeisances is not an easy thing. The idea is that offering obeisances means to negate one's false egoistic conception that I am a controller, I am the enjoyer, I am the proprietor, I am the seer, the things that we all think of highly of ourselves in this way. It means to negate all those false egoistic conceptions and to offer body, words, and heart to the spiritual master service. They evolve the way of the dominant state. This verse was highlighted by Namaste means offering heart, offering body, offering words. Namaste. Nama, negating the false egoistic conception of ourselves, offering our heart, words, and body to the spiritual master. Accepting all difficulties in the service of the spiritual master with a favorable attitude. Continuing to offer heart, body, and words. This is a tough part. Do Dikshakali Bhaktapaya Atma Samarpan at the time of initiation, we offer our heart, body, and words. At the time of difficult circumstances, we take it back. Tendency like that is very difficult. When it's, and then especially when it's thinking, oh, why is the spiritual master neglecting me? I wrote so many emails, he did not respond. And I got me in a very difficult situation. So then I take back my heart, body, and words. The tendency is there. Vrindane Bhaktapitami Bhaktam means understanding the difficulties in the service of the spiritual master are transcendental assets to becoming Krishna conscious. He continues to offer his body, words and parts of the spiritual master, tate nukampam, sukshmikshamano, understanding that, or eagerly anticipating the mercy of Krishna because of his favorable attitude to resolutions. Because Krishna is going to see that thing, he wants to see that. Yasya devi parabhakti yadevi tabro. Krishna wants to see that standard of devotion to his representative. So, continuing offering body, heart, words to the spiritual master, accepting all difficulties in the service as transcendental assets in achieving pure Krishna consciousness, and eagerly awaiting Krishna's kind mercy upon him, seeing that he's maintained his favorable attitude towards the spiritual master. Jivaita yamati pradesa. Then, certainly, he will become liberated. So, this is the meaning of Dhanavad, namaste, renouncing the false egoistic conception. As I just explained, very nice verse, another perspective of the same verse so many times. This verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 8th chapter, 14th chapter, verse 8, is described by Srila Prabhupada and also Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur as the process of Krishna consciousness. In one verse, if someone asks you, what is the process of Krishna consciousness? This one verse has been described as the process. Our body, word and heart to the spiritual master, accepting all difficulty in his service as transcendental assets to achieving Krishna consciousness, and eagerly anticipating the mercy of Krishna upon himself due to maintaining such a favorable attitude towards the spiritual master. Certainly more than great liberation. This is Dandava. So by doing this process of Krishna consciousness, we can Samara Purvratam is doing this regularly, or was he doing this regularly?
As so the inward facing propensity means he is looking to become fully Krishna conscious, and therefore he doesn't give as much weight to the relative consideration as he does to the absolute consideration. So these two types of tendencies are there in the human, I would say, experience. So when Krishna mentions his verse, it is very difficult for those who are by her moved for Vidhi, if you are a pure devotee, then it should be a completely flawless report card, right? All days. There shouldn't be any. And in my Bible competition, so many pure devotees apparently falling down and having very difficulty with this kind of interesting. And yet, even though we hear about when there is fall down
in the contemporary society, the first thing community of devotees one devotee early on Prabhupada's day, he was a sannyasi. Later on he left the sannyasa ashram, and then he later on got married. And so many devotees were writing not very nice things about him, and it was spreading throughout ISKCON, and Srila Prabhupada was furious. He said, now he'll never come back to the movement. What have you done? He chastised devotees. What have you done? Now he'll never come back. This devotee was very sincere. He came back to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. He became Grihastha devotee. Very famous devotee, actually. I did not say the name also. A very famous devotee. Prabhupada was furious to see this is what happened, neophyte devotee. So Krishna said, Apichas Sudaracharo, Bhajate Mama Nanyabak, Sadur Eva Samantavya. He should be considered sadhu. Why? On account of his ananya bhak, his determination to become Krishna conscious. So that is the all-important thing for Krishna. Krishna is called as bhava grahi janardana. That means one who accepts the favorable attitude towards himself. So one may be offering so many things externally, either with his gross senses or with his subtle sense, the mind. He may be offering so many things, but ultimately Krishna will see the favorable attitude. Anukunyena Krishna Nushilana. What is the favorable attitude? And that is what Krishna eats. Bhava Grahi Janar, he eats the bhava, the favorable attitude, the favorable service attitude towards him. So this is mentioned. Ananya Bhak means favorable service attitude towards Krishna. So that is so important for Krishna, that favorable service attitude, that even if one is doing something very abominable, this is not like a premeditated thing and planning out and, you know, that's crooked. We're not talking about a crooked person. We're talking about an honest person trying to achieve the lotus feet of Krishna, but who later on finds himself in some difficulty. That because he has a favorable service attitude towards Krishna, Ananya Bhak, Krishna finds that to be so important that he does not give much weight to the fact that he's doing sudarachar, abominable activity. Example is given Dhruva Maharaj, you know, killing so many yakshas for no reason, practically speaking, but determined to achieve Krishna. This example is often given. Many examples are there. Another example is given is the gopis. It's a little different. Because leaving family, leaving children, some gopis were breastfeeding their children, and Krishna played the flute. They dropped the kid and left. And now, obviously, these things like, oh, sudarachar, most abominable activity, renouncing the family, husbands, everything. Even if that is sudarachar, because the favorable intention towards Krishna is the prominent attitude in their consciousness, Krishna gives that so much weight that even the Sudaracharya does not give much seriousness. Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma, very quickly he will become righteous on account of his Ananya Bhak and be properly situated in the spiritual position. So this is a very hard reality to digest. Only those who are antar mukh, inward facing, can penetrate beyond the appearance. This verse, what is the last line in the verse? I've been trusted to Rashabha, but I'm not even. Sadhureva Samantavya. Samyavya Vasito Hisaha. Srila Bhakti No Thakur, this is described in the Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhava. He was, Srila Bhakti No Thakur had a dream, and in the dream there were a bunch of demigods headed by Yamaraj, I believe, having discussion on this verse, Apichesu Dharacharo. They were having discussion, and they were not able to understand the meaning of the verse. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur shows up in the assembly, and all the devatas offer their obeisances to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and asked him to illuminate the meaning of this verse. And he gives a very simple point of illumination there. He says the last line, the word saha means he becomes righteous, or he should be considered saintly. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that he is the person who looks upon the devotee as a sadhu. That person who looks upon a devotee as sadhu should be considered saintly. In other words, not that only the devotee himself is saintly because of Ananya Bhak, but he who can see past the appearance of the most abominable activity and see the Ananya Bhak of that devotee, his determination to remain devotee, then he, that person who's seen that, becomes a saint. He should be considered saintly. That's a very interesting, and then all the devatas, Haribo, and they offer their obeisances to Bhaktivinoda Thakur for giving such nice illumination on that verse. So, Priyavrata Maharaj had become advanced on account of his fixed determination to serve his spiritual master, but somehow or other he became checked by material engagement, material entanglement, but he should not be considered fallen. Rather, it is Krishna making an arrangement for his devotee to highlight his glories more. So this verse, Prabhupada mentions, Taktva sadharmam charanam bhujam hrer, bhajana pakwo ata patet tato yadi. So one may give up swadharma, he may give up, as namaha, same idea. He gives up his false egoistic idea, he surrenders fully to the spiritual master, Prabhupada, either out of sentiment or out of realization. So both happens. Someone surrenders out of sentimentality. That happens. That's probably the most prominent thing. And someone surrenders out of actual true realization. But both persons may be immature in their worship of Krishna. So as a result, they later on fall down, either due to undesirable association, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport to this verse, either due to undesirable association, or due to offenses, or due to mundane attachment. He may get pulled out of his devotional service temporarily, and his devotional service might be checked for a certain time, but ultimately, he is not fallen. An example given, Bharat Maharaj became deer in the next life on account of mundane attachment to a deer. One may wonder how possible Bharat Maharaj was on the platform of Bhav Bhakti. That's a liberated platform. That's a liberated platform. Bhav Bhakti means liberated platform. And somehow or other, he came attached to a deer by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord and became fallen, apparently. Deer body. Oh, see, Bharat Maharaj got a deer body, fallen. Then write some article on Dandavats, you know. They don't accept on Dandavats, actually, chakra. And that one, they accept all types of garbage. Write an article, send it across. Oh, see, Bharat Maharaj should become fallen. But he is not fallen. Rather, in that body, Krishna gave him full remembrance of his previous life. And so that he can go onward to pure Krishna consciousness. So that actually, that apparent fall down became a stepping stone for his full success. Similarly, sometimes it may be seen that a devotee is maybe feeling overwhelmed by position in the society, even in the society of devotees. And Krishna may make some arrangement for that devotee to be humble so he can complete his onward march to pure Krishna consciousness. And therefore, some situation happens somehow or other and he becomes fallen. And in that way, the humility that is manifest in his heart is so profound that in that life itself, he goes onward to pure Krishna consciousness and attains the lotus feet of Krishna. So for that devotee, he's going back to Godhead. But for those who are seeing that, they are in a most dangerous situation. Most dangerous. Vrindavan Das Thakur says this thing. They're in a most dangerous situation. What is a dangerous situation? Is he fallen or is he not fallen? Sankat. Sankata means a dilemma. What is the dilemma? Trying to ascertain what is his purity. This is some kind of dilemma. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, if we see it properly, then we'll be, of course, liberated. We'll get liberation. And if we don't see it properly, we'll be destroyed. So it's a very difficult situation. You're seeing so many things externally, but the devotee is internally a devotee. He's going back to Godhead because Krishna made the necessary arrangement for his improvement in this life. Prabhupada is quoting Srimad Bhagavad Gita here. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brasha Abhijayate. That if someone is unsuccessful, Arjuna's question to where this verse is coming in context, the question Arjuna asks is what? What if I take to spiritual life and I'm unsuccessful and I've also abandoned material life, material duty, then what is my position? Am I not like a ribbon cloud with no place in any spirit? So Krishna says, don't worry, those who do auspicious activities, they try to surrender to Krishna, they shall never be lost. If after a short time of practice, this is the result, after a short time of practice, that you get to go to heavenly regions and enjoy very nicely, that's a pretty good deal. Just in case that tendency is there, get it out, you know, you got to get it out. Sometimes when something's in you, like a secret, you know, for example, you shouldn't tell secrets, but sometimes like a secret is so juicy, right? Full of rasa, that if you don't express it, you can't be happy, you know. I got to tell someone. And then you go to someone and say, don't tell anyone, you know. And then when you get it out, whew, that tasted good, you know. And then that devotee is like, okay, I won't tell anyone, absolutely not. But then it gets in them, I got to get it out, that rasa is ready to go tell someone like that. Tendency is there. So that material enjoyment is like a witch that hunts us. Bukti mukti spriha yavat. Pishachi hridi vartite, mentioned by Rupa Goswami. Bukti mukti spriha yavat. Hridi, the desire for bukti mukti is like a witch which hunts the heart. So that sometimes it's there, so you have it. So after a short time of practice of devotional service, yoga, one can go to the heavenly regions and get it out, that tendency to want to enjoy. And after that takes birth, again, in the family of brahmanas, pure brahmanas, or in the family of rich merchants, and can continue to make onward progress in Krishna consciousness. There was another point I was developing from this that I kind of forgot. Anyway, so what was the, anyone remembers my progressive build up here? No, after that, before that, the point I was making, this is warmer. All right, that point. Anyway, so Sankata is their dilemma. So, my point was Krishna made me make an arrangement for that devotee's improvement. That was the point I was making. Krishna's making an arrangement for that devotee's improvement. Now I remember, it's coming. Like the sun. Now it's shining in my hand. So if you, after a short time of practice, this is the result. And after a long time of practice, you're unsuccessful, you get take birth in the family of acharyas. But Krishna is more merciful if he chastises you in this life itself, Srila Prabhupada says. And 1:5:19, Srimad Bhagavatam. You read that, Prabhupada quotes the same section. And he gives these different ideas. One idea is that after a short time of practice, you get this benefit. Enjoyment in heavenly planets, and then after enjoyment in heavenly planets, birth in Brahmin family or mercantile family for continued progress. If after a long time of practice, you get birth in a family of transcendentalists, acharyas. But if Krishna is superlatively kind to you, in this life itself, he chastises you. So that in this life, you can go on to perfection. So sometimes it may be seen that the devotee has become fallen because Krishna is giving him a special type of mercy. And this life itself chastising him, so he repents and onward to pure Krishna prema in this life. So that is the situation. He is going back to Gaya, and if we're looking upon him, we're in a sankat, we're in a difficulty. That we cannot understand what Krishna is doing for that devotee. Nor can we see that devotee's ananya bhakt, that is internal. Sudarachar part we can see very clearly. Ananya bhakt part we cannot see. We're in a sankat, difficult situation. And we shall choose wrongly, we shall see and come to the wrong conclusion. Then we'll be destroyed. Our spiritual life will be destroyed on account of aparad. That devotee is nicely going back to Godhead, and we'll be going down to hell on account of aparad. And this is true reality. Huh? If you should see rightly, then that devotee going back home to Godhead, and because you looked upon him in the proper way, you also become elevated. This is the situation. So Maharaj Priyavrata was very advanced devotee, but apparently became materially fallen, apparently so. And now he's going to lament his position. He's inspired the mood of renunciation. He will repent his situation, and then he'll go on to perfection. So this topic that I'm mentioning is one of the main topics of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata. How to view devotees. One of the main topics. Two main topics of Bhagavata is take shelter of Harinam. Other main topic, don't offend Vaishnavas. These are two basic, broad topics that are repeatedly mentioned practically in every chapter. Huge sections are dedicated to this theme. So the theme that I'm choosing to pick up out of this. As practicing devotees, what are we to do? Because many of us may be Bahirmukh Pravritti. It means kind of still on the material platform and therefore giving way only to the external manifestations which we call pure devotional manifestations. You know, how many books, how many plates of prasadam went out, how many disciples. That must be the real guru. He has so many disciples. That is a real bona fide guru. He's a guru. He's not having disciples. How is he bona fide? There's a tendency is there. What are the external manifestations of Krishna consciousness? And if there are no external indications, then there's no purity there to be traced out. See, the idea is that it's not that pure devotion doesn't manifest in really wonderful ways, like it's manifested as this temple, for example. But the idea is that the externally orientated devotee gives way only to the external because it's easily traceable. It can easily be traced out. Whereas the internal situation cannot be easily traced out. So there's a tendency to leave that consideration aside and only give way to the external consideration. And that mentality is actually what leads to so much of aparad. So much of offense. Another way this manifests itself, for example, it is seen now prominently in the society, is that difficulties with gurus falling down. So then, as a result of that, the tendency to throw out the principle of it, the necessity of guru, throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is a saying they have, and you know, baby is passing stool in the water. And so you're supposed to throw out the stool, but you keep the baby, right? That's very important. You should keep the baby, throw out the stool. You don't toss the water out and the baby, wah! It always goes out. You keep the baby, you throw out the nasty stuff. So the tendency is to throw the baby out with the bath water. Oh, there were so many fall downs, therefore there's no poor gurus anymore. We only follow the eternal associates. They are perfected. They didn't have any flaws in their life. We follow only them. And we throw out the principle of the necessity of guru. This, for example, this is due to Bahir Mukh Pravritti. Bahir Mukh, only the relative consideration giving weight, but the absolute consideration, which is inclusive of the necessity of taking shelter of guru, is thrown out on account of giving more weight to what's happening in the relative world. That's, for example, I have to tell that example. Obviously, you know, it's a little controversial maybe, but it's an important point. So then we have to raise our adhikar to Antarmukh Pravritti. That doesn't mean like a very advanced devotee. It just means he is thoughtful about his spiritual advancement, thoughtful about avoiding aparad. He is very thoughtful about the goal of life he is trying to achieve, onward to Krishna consciousness. And so therefore, when externals are happening, things in the relative world which are very bewildering and very confusing, he doesn't immediately give way to his eyes and what his senses are perceiving, but he becomes thoughtful. And if he's not able to penetrate past externals, then he goes to someone who is more deep than him and thoughtful in order to help augment his tendency to look within instead of giving so much weight without and then becoming fallen as a result of that. So this message is there, two messages. Are there any questions? If anyone wants to say anything, ask anything, comment. It's funny, I just mentioned this point that when class is going on, you see many devotees are like struggling. As soon as the class is over, you see them like it's like release. Then they suddenly like wake up, you know? It's really amazing. You see the whole class like this, and then you say thank you, class is over, and then all of a sudden you see them like it's like they were getting beat up, you know, and suddenly whoof, released. I just noticed that now. It's an interesting phenomenon. Okay, you can ask your question.
In the beginning of class you were speaking about how at the time of initiation one gives his heart, body and mind, but then when there's a difficult situation he pulls back the heart, body and mind. So I was thinking about how the jiva has spent so much time in the material world and he has so much experience with failed relationships that he becomes scared of certain symptoms which he knows will lead to a failed relationship. So, for example, you're giving the example, oh, I've written so many emails, no response. So for the conditioned soul, that's a sign, oh, this relationship is failing because I'm being ignored. So then he, out of fear from previous experiences, he retreats his heart, body, and mind because this is a symptom. So I'm wondering how to overcome that spontaneous reaction based on so much previous bad impressions of failed relationships so that we can make
Namaha.
The relationship in this life work.
Namaha. This is the only way to overcome it. Namaha. The reason in the description that you've just given, the reason, oh, I'm seeing the symptoms. What are the symptoms? Oh, they're not putting me in the center. That is the problem. Oh, I've sent so many emails, they're not responding. They're not putting me in the center, I reject them. Huh? And all our failed relationships would happen. They weren't putting me in the center. They were putting themselves in the center. How dare them? I reject them, isn't it? So then we come into spiritual life, and in the beginning, we see that devotees are, let's say, extremely attentive to us and so on. So we feel, oh, Sadhu Sangha is so wonderful. Why? Because I am the center. And then when devotees like, now I have to be Krishna conscious myself, you know, and they're going on to serve Krishna, and they've given so much to us. But then all of a sudden we say, oh, I am not the sinner. Someone else is the sinner. It looks like Krishna is the sinner. I don't appreciate this at all. I reject my spiritual master. Why is he not making me the sinner? There's only one hope, Namaha. And you have to really offer your obeisances, understanding the real conception of the soul is servant, not the center. And unless until we really assimilate that idea And not so easy to assimilate, because false ego is really powerful. And there you have to hear class every day. Jivera Swarupoye Krishnaranitadas. Jivera Swarupoye Krishnaranitadas. Jivera Swarupoye. Oh, I'm so tired of hearing that verse. You know, so basic point, give it a new point. Jivera Swarupoye Krishnaranitadas. Same point has to come over and over again. You are, why? Because we're thinking ourselves to be the center. That is the only reason why relationships fail. I mean, because someone, there's a misunderstanding about who is the center. That's why relationships fail. When two jivas come together, both of them think they're the Purusha. Even if they have woman's body, they think they're Purusha also. Purusha Abhimana is for all the conditioned souls. So they come together, and Purusha means the center. That's what it means. Purusha means the center. So two Purusha Abhimana, the jivas with Purusha Abhimana, they come together, they both think they're the center, failed relationship. At first it's nice because it's the mutual exploitation agreement, right? It's nice. But then as it goes on, their different ideas of exploitation begin to diverge. And then they start to see, oh, actually we don't have the same center. And therefore it breaks. So then we try to bring that same idea into the spiritual relationship, and then the spiritual relationships don't last either. Because we're attached to misconception. We're not letting go of the misconception that I'm the center, I'm the seer, I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the proprietor. We're not letting go. We're bringing it into the realm of our, you know, practice. So then at first it's nice, but as it goes on and on and on, and there's so many tests come up, then if we don't let go of that attachment, then that attachment pulls us out of the Sangha of devotees. So there's only one hope. We have to actually practice this Namaha thing. You know, just like many times we see Srila Prabhupada Maharaj when he gives his Vyasa Puja offering. He many times will begin it where I reaffirm or recommit in this Vyasa Puja offering. I'm making a recommitment like that. He does like that. So the idea is like when we offer obeisances in the morning to our spiritual master, to the deities, you know, it's a recommitment every day. Diksha Kali Bhakta Kare Atma Samarpana. At the time of initiation, you offer your Atma to the spiritual master, right? No, not only at the time of initiation. It means from the time of initiation. Not only at the time of initiation, from the time of initiation. It goes on. And then every day is an opportunity to recommit to that particular offering. Like actually meditating, that's what I'm doing. Not the hatchet program that Srila Prabhupada didn't. One devotee was coming in, you know, in the outside of the room. We heard this story a few times. And the devotee was just like, and then going out doing something, And Prabhupada said, what is this hatchet program, you know? Hatchet, just, but it's not obeisances, you know, not obeisances. What is a hatchet program? Anyway, the tendency is like that, you know, especially like some of us are rushing off to Mangalarti, so we just come, and then going from the altar. The tendency is like that. But actually, if we come about 2 or 3 or 4 minutes early, then you might be able to offer like a proper obeisances. You're supposed to offer the obeisances. You're supposed to recite a mantra and you meditate on the meaning of what am I doing right now? What is the purpose of this activity? Just by doing that, we get more purification. I mean, I have experience of not doing that most of the time, and I have experience of doing that sometimes and seeing the purification that's felt in the heart when you really like offer obeisances. You know, or another area is like when we recite the Mangala Charanam prayers before the class. Many times we don't think of the meaning. Oh my God, and we're like spaced out, you know. This is a cool melody. I like this one, you know. And giving more emphasis to the melody than the meaning. But then, if we were to actually think about it in a substantial way, you can feel your connection with the spiritual master, with the acharyas. As you can feel it. You feel mercy coming down to you because of that conscious endeavor. So Namaha is only by offering our obeisances can we actually overcome. Offering obeisances means letting go of the fact that I'm not the center. And that service to my spiritual master, to the deity, they are the center. And fixing that, and then when there are difficulties, I'm not the center, they're the center. And then before the storm comes, every day we have a chance to nourish that conception. Go in front of Srila Prabhupada, offer all obeisances. I'm not the sinner, you're the sinner. You know, and then we offer the Gaudiya Nitya, I'm not the sinner, you're the sinner. And you go to Kishore, I'm not the sinner, you're the sinner. And with that active meditation in the mind, we can nourish that, we can gain momentum in that conception. And then when there's difficulty, it would be out of habit. I'm not the sinner, you're the sinner. And you won't, and then less bewilderment comes. Hare Krishna. Does that, all right. I think, I saw his hand, you know, do you have anything now?
Hare Krishna, of something that we come across that we would be outwardly judging, another scriptural example, or something that you gave one example of.
Someone is chanting three lakham nam, therefore he must be advanced. That's one you have. That's the one you have, you're stuck on. Oh, he's only chanting 16 rounds. Okay, that's nice also. Do you know anyone chanting 192 rounds? Like we were giving class, Ishvapanishad class, and I was reading something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he says that the Madhyam Adhikari does not chant less than 175 rounds. You know, wow, the Madhyam Adhikari, you know, because neophyte's chanting, you know, if he chants 174, he's neophyte. You know, and what was your question to that? Is there anyone in our movement that's chanting 175 rounds? So externally orientated. There's an example of external orientation. I'm looking for the number. Actually, number, Maya means, another word, Maya means is to count, to measure. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, Maya means to measure. So you're measuring how many, oh, I'm chanting 64 rounds, therefore I feel fired up and enthused in Krishna consciousness. Measuring, that is Maya. You're not supposed to measure japa, you're supposed to just chant, bas. Even the 16 rounds, we're like so conscious of that number 16, that is Maya. That actually Maya. Be so conscious of the number 16. Just gotta get it in, gotta get it in, gotta get it in. Not Maya consciousness. You're supposed to just chant Hare Krishna. That's it. You know, therefore Srila Chandramali Maharaj used to often say that chanting starts at the 17th round. He used to, many times he said this throughout the years. He used to say, you remember it? Maharaj many times said this, right? He said, chanting starts at the 17th round. He said, because 16 rounds you have to do. You know, there's no question of not doing it, especially your initiated disciple. So he said, chanting starts at the 17th round. I always appreciated that point. Still, many times 16 is there, I feel happy, satisfied. But chanting starts at the 17th round. And to be so conscious of the number is Maya consciousness, measuring. The desire to measure spiritual life is materialistic. So I'm chanting so many rounds, I'm doing so many hours of service and so on. Ultimately, Krishna won't care about all that if your attitude is not changed towards him. Chanting 64 rounds, as soon as there's some difficulty, doubting if Krishna's existing, then that means not, this is an example of external orientation. So many devotees going through very tremendous difficulties in the Bhagavatam. Therefore, you don't give the Bhagavatam to newcomers. They'll become discouraged. And see all the struggles the devotees are having in the Bhagavatam. Well, I thought to be a devotee, things are going to be high and dandy. You know, it's like, it seems like more of a struggle. Huh? You don't get Bhagavatam in the beginning. Struggling, you know, oh, I'm feeling so enthused. I'm chanting so many rounds, so many, I'm absorbed in pure Krishna prema. And then Krishna said, very good, wonderful. And then he sends some difficulty, there's no God. Immediately rejecting God. This is an example, prominent example, you know, you've gone through so many ups and downs like this. This is an example of external orientation. You know, and then, you know, looking upon devotees and see, oh, none of them have taste for the holy name. Therefore, they're not such good association. I don't want to associate with them also. External orientation. If there weren't devotees around, finished. Immediately no spiritual life. Because we live in this society of devotees, we're getting so much strength to come to all the programs. So as you should not have, immediately finished. 1-2 weeks you'll last, maybe 1 month you'll last, and then finished. One who thinks that they can be Krishna conscious outside the association of devotees is living in a hallucination. Prabhupada's purport, 4th canto, 9th chapter, text number 11. Living a big hallucination. But then thinking, oh, no one has taste for the holy name here. Everyone is sleeping in japa period. They're not good association. I'll not associate with anyone. I'll just chant Hare Krishna. Hey, external orientation. Instead of looking with the eyes of service, service-inclined eyes. how I can serve the Vaishnava. That is real darshan. That real darshan means looking with service-inclined eyes. But we're not looking with service-inclined eyes. We're looking with our bahirmukh pravritti and making so much aparad in the mind. And then thinking, chanting Hare Krishna is going to help me. It is an example of external orientation. No one can chant Hare Krishna without sevamukh, favorable disposition of service towards Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. That means consistent favorable attitude, not when the mind is allowing me to be nice today. Consistently favorable in all situations. That's called sevamukh. No sevamukh, no chanting Hare Krishna. Atashi Krishna Namadi Namavetgraham Indriyai. Finish. Tongue cannot chant Hare Krishna, it's impossible. So material fleshy tongue cannot chant Hare Krishna. Only when there is sevamukh in the heart, then you can chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, just nam-bas at best, probably not aparad. No sevamukh, no chanting. Just chanting like the materialist, Krishna Das, famous kirtaniya. Sometimes devotees like to even hear his kirtan. A useless thing to hear. But no sevamukh. No sevamukh. Desire to exploit Krishna. Krishna will never agree to descend and become an object for the activities of our senses, our lusty, exploitative senses. He'll never agree. Nam is not different from Krishna, so Nam will never agree to descend on the tongue if we don't have sevamukh, if we have that exploitive, lusty tendency. He'll not come. But when Krishna sees favorable, consistent, favorable service attitude towards Hare Guru and Vaishnavas, then that time you can chant Hare Krishna. So much empowerment to chant Hare Krishna. Then we'll abandon our bahirmukh pravritti, we'll accept antarmukh pravritti, we'll go onward to pure Krishna consciousness. There's another example. Are there any other questions? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I was wondering if you could give a little bit more. You were talking about on not finding fault and not committing offenses. So then what is the proper application of the intelligence? How do we properly engage the intelligence?
Well, it depends on what platform of devotional service we're at. Vrindavan Das Thakur's point in regards to the statement of the devotee being in a sankat, a difficult situation, when he sees a very bewildering situation. And the pastime that comes in connection to this statement is Bhrigu Muni kicking the chest of Lord Vishnu. And so the tendency made to think, how is Bhrigu Muni a devotee? That's the context of which the statement is made by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So his advice to us is to be humble with all, especially if we are yet to be able to recognize the true position of a devotee. Then one should learn how to be humble with all. And then he actually makes a point, by such a mentality, Krishna will give the Divya Buddhi, the transcendental intelligence, to recognize what is what. He makes that point, actually. He said he'll give Divya Buddhi, he mentions like that. So that humility point should be there. That's especially when we are on the neophyte platform, we really have to focus in on that particular quality. Otherwise, there's no question of spiritual knowledge, as it's discussed in the Gita, chapter 13, verse 8 through 12. And you know, Prabhupada highlights on this point at the beginning and end of the purport. If you're on the Madhyama Adhikara platform, that is a platform of, graceful discrimination. You know, in other words, on the neophyte platform, you try to discriminate, and it ends up turning into aparad. On the Madhyama Adhikari platform, they can discriminate without committing offenses. So it depends on what level of Krishna consciousness one is actually having. So many of us probably can honestly admit that we're on the neophyte platform. Therefore, for us, it is more important to give a lot more attention just to our own development than trying to bounce off our development on what others are doing, which is the tendency of the neophyte to feel that he's good, or that at least I'm not the only one that's bad, right? There are others who are also bad. Okay, whew, I feel comfortable. But we give more importance to just our own development and with a focus on the humility aspect, you know, and we're going to fail sometimes, and sometimes, you know, very rarely we get success also. We can be a little bit humble. But we should focus in on that particular quality, because that's Vrindavan Das Thakur's recommendation. Otherwise, we won't be able to get out of the difficulty. And we commit aparad. I think one of the reasons, I've heard this from many senior devotees also, that the reason preaching is so challenging in America is because the level of aparadam that's going on is so high in America. In other places where the preaching is very successful, like Europe and Russia, they still have faith in things like guru and all these things, you know, that I should follow my bona fide guru, and preaching is just boom, 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 boom. The tendency for offense is right at the present moment, you know, not as less. But in America, because of just the history of things and so on, you know, faithlessness is abound and, you know, offensive attitude is really high. And therefore, it's hard to do anything in such an atmosphere. So many devotees, senior devotees, feel discouraged in coming. You know, as soon as you shall try anything out, preaching or otherwise, immediately so many articles coming on the internet and this, that, and the other. But how can anything be successful? And then the same people who will be criticizing and doing illicit sex and all these things and putting on tilak at the same time. They're going on all over the place. So then if we are neophyte, we should, you know, focus in on the humility point and self-correction point. And then there might be some hope for us to get off the external platform, move onward to the Madhyam consciousness, and where there is proper discrimination. Okay, so now it's almost 8:30. I'm going to stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.